Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The March Madness Selection Show is underway right now, and the Wolfpack is celebrating. As you can see, their 11th seed. The team will play in Pittsburgh Thursday against 6-seeded Texas Tech. Good evening, and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Well, the Wolfpack, as you know, came a long way with an exciting win over Carolina last night, becoming ACC champions and automatically earning their spot in the NCAA tournament. Let's first take you to last night. The team returned to Raleigh early this morning, welcomed by a crowd of supporters. The Wolfpack flew out of Dulles Airport in D.C. just hours after their big win. The long day didn't stop them from celebrating. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live in Cary right now, where the team is having a Selection Sunday watch party. Carly, both players and fans are excited to see where they landed today.
They sure are, Julian, and we heard them when that seed was announced against Texas Tech. The crowd just erupted here. It is lively. We're with the team watching Selection Sunday right alongside of them, and we got to see them when they were coming off the bus into Sports and Social in Cary, where they were meeting with fans. They held up that ACC championship trophy. They were sporting red, players taking pictures and signing posters. We caught up with DJ Horn, guard for the team, who grew up in Raleigh. He tells us to see people smiling right now, knowing this team caused that, is something he just doesn't even have the words for. We asked him what it was like to grow up in Raleigh, hearing of that legendary 1987 team, and now being a part of a history-making run himself.
I don't even think I really can process it all right now. I just know that when I go into PNC next and I see that 2024 ACC champion banner up there, man, it's going to really hit me just like, wow, all this for this right here.
We also spoke to fans here who watched NC State's momentum in this tournament and are hoping to continue that streak. For so many of these fans, it's the first time they get to see the Wolfpack as ACC champions.
I wasn't alive in 1987.
Me neither.
It's like such a generational gap. Like, this is our big Jimmy V season and stuff like that. Like, getting to experience this, like being a student here, is unreal. I'm just really happy I got to see it.
5 days ago, nobody would have expected that State would be playing UNC in the championship to win the ACC tournament, and it was very fun to watch the past couple games.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I just cannot wait. Like, we are season ticket holders. We go to every game. It's like they finally got what they worked hard for.
And the fun continues. We know they're going dancing in Pittsburgh Thursday against Texas Tech, so it's going to be exciting NCAA tournament, Julian.
Hey, like Jay just said there, 5 days ago, no one expected this. Carly Haynes reporting live for us in Cary tonight. Thank you.
All right, get those brackets ready. We have some Selection Sunday updates for you, rather. Duke and NC State, take a look. Duke will be a 4 seed in the South region, playing Vermont, a 14 seed in Brooklyn, on Friday the 22nd. Then we have State. They will be an 11 seed in the South region as well, playing 6 seed Texas Tech in Pittsburgh on Thursday the 21st. WRAL's Luis Fernandez will have much more for us coming up in sports.
I can't talk enough about basketball. Thank you. A car crashed into a building on South Wilmington Street in Raleigh. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. It shows a stolen Kia inside a 7-Star Tobacco. Police responded shortly after 6 a.m. when the store's burglary alarm went off. The 911 caller witnessed people leaving the store even though it was closed. But at this time, police have no suspects. The owner of the store is there with police, and at this point, they don't know how many items were stolen from the store. State troopers are investigating an accident involving a motorcycle this afternoon in Knightdale. This happened at Knightdale Boulevard and Keefe's Road. Troopers say a car failed to yield. The motorcyclist tried to stop but wasn't able to in time and collided with the car. The motorcyclist was taken to the hospital with an injured knee. The driver originally did not stay on the scene, we're told, but did come back. No word of any charges at this time. The man charged with murdering a Moore County woman and leaving her body near a Montgomery County cemetery last summer has a court appearance tomorrow. Attorneys for James Dunmore are calling for his release. They want the court to change his $1 million secured bond to unsecured, meaning he could be let out of prison without having to put up any money. The autopsy for Alicia Watts was released last week. The report said her cause of death was undetermined because her body was so badly decomposed by the time it was found. Dunmore's attorney argues with no clear cause of death, prosecutors cannot meet the burden of proof against Dunmore. Thus, that's why they're calling for his release. A man was arrested in California, charged with 3 counts of murder for the deaths of a Charlotte mother and her 2 children. Police say 35-year-old Benjamin Taylor was arrested in California yesterday. He's accused of killing 22-year-old Markayla Johnson, 4-year-old Miracle Johnson, and 7-month-old Messiah Johnson. The 3 were reported missing on March 8th. Their bodies were found at an apartment complex on Friday. Before Taylor's arrest was announced, police did say they believe the suspect was in a relationship with Johnson. Taylor is currently being held in a California jail while waiting extradition to North Carolina. A man accused of killing a New Mexico police officer, who is also the person of interest in the death of a South Carolina paramedic, was arrested today. The 2-day manhunt search for Jeremy Smith of South Carolina ended in New Mexico. He's accused of killing a New Mexico State police officer, Justin Hare, on Friday. Hare was responding to a call for a driver with a flat tire when he was shot. The car belonged to South Carolina paramedic Ponisha Machado IV. She was found dead on Friday night. Smith was identified as a person of interest in Machado IV's death. He was taken in custody this morning after he was spotted at a gas station in Albuquerque.
Yesterday, we said that we would bring Jeremy Smith to justice. But there was nowhere that he could run, and that there was nowhere he could hide. And today, thanks to our community, to our fellow law enforcement partners, we were able to do that.
We do have more about this disturbing story. When deputies found Smith, he led them on a chase that ended when deputies shot him. He's being treated at the hospital under guard. Soil contamination in Durham City Parks remains a major concern for residents, especially as things warm up, right? Well, Durham Parks and Recreation is now requesting $5 million from the city to begin addressing the problem. WRL's Laura Levine speaks with someone who lives in one of the affected neighborhoods as the city prepares for budget talks tomorrow.
Parks that were once so full of life are now fenced and gated off. Do not enter signs you can't miss right out front.
There are people who have grown up playing in that park. Their kids have played in that park. Their grandchildren have played in that park.
These warning signs have now come too late. Brandon Williams lives in the Walltown community, one of 5 neighborhoods with parks deemed unsafe from soil contamination, such as lead. Williams says it's been difficult news to digest.
Particularly given the lack of urgent response that's been present over the past year. You know, we brought this to light last summer, and there's been a very slow buildup.
Durham Parks and Recreation officials say they're taking action. In a recent interview on Durham's City Life YouTube channel, a spokesperson announced they requested money from the city to start cleanup.
We are not going to just wait for the state to provide resources for us. We have already made a request for additional funds through our capital improvement program for each park. That's $1 million for each park, totaling $5 million.
Mayor Leo Williams tells me this topic will be a significant focus during the upcoming budget meeting. He says council members will assess every single inch of every single park in the city. Residents believe the $5 million request is a good start and want to see a long-term plan put in place.
We would hope that this money allows for some beginning work in that area. But also that more detailed plans are given and options presented so that residents can respond accordingly with what we think would be the best path forward.
He's encouraging residents to get involved in these conversations. He's also pushing for more education on the hazards out there to become widely accessible to those at risk.
Would like to be able to really acknowledge that there are toxins beyond lead that we know the testing has revealed. And so to really give the full breadth of information around what the potential harms and dangers are, give folks the tools they need to get tested and to keep themselves safe.
Laura Levine, WREL News in Durham.
The city has also requested the Durham County Department of Public Health provide additional blood and lead testing, which department ended in October of last year. The department ended that in October of last year, I should say. Now, that continues to provide lead information on their website. We're told the city does, and the Durham city leaders meet tomorrow night, I should say, at 7. A North Carolina-based organization is on the ground in Ohio after a deadly tornado. Samaritan's Purse shares more about the work they're doing to help people recover and rebuild. Anthony.
Join us as we head out there this evening. Thankfully, our weather and across most of the country right now is pretty quiet. We're at 71 in Raleigh, Durham, 70 in South Hill, 74 currently in Clinton on this St. Patrick's Day. Coming up here after this break, we're going to walk through some more rainfall, though, that could work its way into the forecast into this upcoming week.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
It's a mild start this morning, but don't take that too seriously. We have much colder air that comes in later today and tonight. Starting today, parents of elementary schoolers in Durham will be able to sign their students up for an after-school care program. Coming up, why every student's spot won't be guaranteed.
NC State fans have a lot to cheer about this morning. We now know all the matchups for the NCAA tournament this weekend. We'll break down which Tobacco Road teams are playing, who, when, and where, all the excitement surrounding the brackets. It is an exciting time of year, certainly, the Monday after Selection Sunday.
Of course.
Off we go with all your info. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Three Triangle teams playing. Still can't believe. I mean, NC State, incredible run.
What a run.
Very excited for them. Very excited to have this guy back by my side. Yeah, he decided to come back after a week of rest and relaxation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'll have to tell us about the St. Patrick's Day Parade over the weekend.
Awesome.
But first, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRA Severe Weather Center with some mild temperatures for our Monday.
It feels really nice outside right now. We do have some 50s starting to show up in Roxborough and South Hill, and some chilly air is going to come spilling in today. So these mild temperatures in the 60s will only be with us for a few more hours, and then we're going to see it all changing for us. Cold front just pushed off the coast. Our winds have shifted to northwesterly, and that northwesterly wind today is going to push some chilly air in. Right now, everything is nice and quiet, looking at 63 in the triangle. Our wind, though, is out of the north at 9, and that northerly wind is definitely going to cool us off. We take a look outside. Over the top of the tower lit in purple for some cloud cover that'll be with us on and off this morning. And again, those temperatures as you're heading out the door, if you're heading out right now, looking not so bad. We have a freeze warning in effect for tomorrow morning from Sanford back down through the Sandhills. And the reason it's not for the entire viewing area is complicated. The growing season technically hasn't started in our northern counties, but temperatures there will definitely be near freezing as well. Our winds are going to be on the gusty side today, anywhere from 15 to almost 20 miles per hour on and off during the afternoon. And our temperatures this morning will drop down to around 50 at about 10 a.m. So we've got a long way for those temperatures to fall. And then we're just going to hold it in the upper 50s through the afternoon. It won't last long. We do have some warmer air ahead for the end of the week.
Elizabeth, thanks. Breaking news out of Johnson County. Deputies are at a crime scene on Bear Oak Drive just outside Wilson's Mills. WRL's Nick Perlin drove there in the WRL Breaking News Tracker. And Nick, deputies have been at that home since around 9:30 last night.
Renee, that's correct, and they're still out here investigating this crime. They have this entire area around this home taped off, as well as the street. I do want to get behind the camera and show you something. This is brand new to the scene, probably pulled up around 30 minutes ago. I'm slowly going to zoom in on this white truck. I'm going to focus in on it. It's kind of hard to see. It is dark out here, but you can see that headlight. That white truck has just showed up, again, about 30 minutes ago. I know it's kind of hard to see, but focusing on that red headlight, we're still trying to figure out what exactly it's here for. But I do want to show you this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. This is from about 2 a.m. You can see here there are deputies on scene, as well as EMS and firefighters. We have also seen investigators here take pictures and shine flashlights on this home. Most of the investigation has happened near the front porch porch of the home. Now we're still waiting to hear back from Johnston County Sheriff's Office to find out what exactly happened here. Once we do get more information and more information confirmed, we will definitely pass that information on to you. Live in Smithfield, Nick Perlin, WRAL News.
All right, take a look at this. Fire and water everywhere as crews work to extinguish flames at a home in Moore County. This is video that was captured by the WRL Breaking News Tracker shortly after 1 a.m. on Pine Lake Drive in Whispering Pines. Firefighters worked to put out those hot spots that remained after that large fire was knocked down. Backside of this one-story home was heavily damaged. The Red Cross was called in to help that family that is displaced now by the fire.
For the man accused of killing Alicia Watts will call for his release. They say there is not enough evidence for James Dunmore to stay in prison. WRL's Laura Levine is outside the medical examiner's office in Raleigh this morning. Laura, the autopsy for Alicia Watts was just released last week and still a lot of questions.
Renee, good morning. It was just a few days ago when the autopsy report was released here by the state medical examiner's office for Alicia Watts. Now, the autopsy report states Watts' cause of death was undetermined because her body was so badly decomposed by the time it was found in the woods. So with this new and latest development today in court, the attorney for James Dunmore, who is accused of murdering his ex-girlfriend, is expected to ask for his release. Dunmore's defense argues that since there was no clear cause of death, prosecutors cannot meet their burden of proof against Dunmore. Dunmore's attorney has asked the court to change his $1 million secured bond to unsecured so Dunmore can wait for trial outside of prison. And to just refresh your memory here, Alicia Watts was reported missing back in July. Her body was found more than a month later on August 24th, about 20 minutes away from her home in Foxfire. Her remains were found in the woods behind a cemetery along a back road leading to her house. WRAL will be following the latest developments coming out of court today, and of course, we'll keep you updated on everything that happens. Laura Levine, WRAL News, we're live in Raleigh.
Happening today, prominent civil rights attorney Ben Crump will be in Raleigh to file a wrongful death lawsuit on behalf of the family of Daryl Williams. Williams was shot with a police taser outside a Raleigh sweepstakes parlor last January. His cause of death is listed as sudden cardiac arrest. Williams yelled to police that he had a heart condition and he was tased again. There was a taser used on him after that. The autopsy also lists cocaine intoxication, physical exertion, and the use of a taser as factors in his death. Six officers were put on administrative leave, but none of them faced charges. The lawsuit names the city of Raleigh, the chief of Raleigh police, and officers involved in Williams' death as defendants.
It is time to start filling out your bracket. That was the moment NC State players and fans at Sports and Social in Cary learned who the Wolfpack will be playing to kick off the NCAA tournament. NC State will be an 11 seed and will play Texas Tech in the first round Thursday. The team was greeted by cheering fans at their Selection Sunday watch party. They've watched the Wolfpack's incredible rise through the NCAA tournament or ACC tournament.
5 days ago, nobody would have expected that State would be playing UNC in the championship to win the ACC tournament.
They finally got what they worked hard for.
Coming up in the next 10 minutes, we will take a look at who all our local teams will be playing in the first round of the tournament.
NC State fans and basketball players have been on cloud nine going into the tournament. Take a listen to the players as they return to Raleigh after the historic ACC tournament win over Carolina Saturday. The team returned to a cheering crowd of supporters. The Wolfpack flew out of Dulles Airport outside of D.C. hours after the big win. The long day did not stop them from celebrating. And what a weekend it was for so many of those fans to be part of the pack.
Today, Durham Elementary School parents will sign their kids up for a popular after-school care program. This time, though, the program will use a lottery system to fill those slots. WRL's Kelsey Coffey is live outside Durham Public Schools Central Services building this morning. Kelsey, a lot of parents are frustrated about this new program. Explain what's going on.
Jeff, this is going to impact a lot of working parents of the staff here this morning at the Durham Central Services Building. We'll be working on going through those applications, and if parents sign their student up today, their spot won't be guaranteed. The district says there are two factors that are at play here, staffing and higher demand. Right now, there are more than 1,600 slots in the elementary aftercare program, but there's 15 staff vacancies and nearly 300 students on the wait list. The lottery comes just weeks after classes were canceled for several days due to employee pay issues. This brings up a lot of concerns for parents, especially if they have multiple students, if one student gets selected into the program and the other student doesn't. This lottery application will close on April 5th. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Durham.
Tonight, you have another chance to never have to worry about money again. The big Powerball jackpot tonight stands at $645 million if you win it. No one won the grand prize Saturday. That's not the only huge lottery prize. Maybe you want to play the Mega Millions. That's at $875 million for Tuesday night's drawing. You can watch both drawings live on WREL at 11 p.m.
We're 20 minutes before 5 right now on your Monday. After fleeing gang violence in Haiti, dozens of U.S. citizens are in Miami this morning. What the U.S. is doing to try to bring as many Americans back home from the island nation as soon as possible.
Plus, a small plane crash in Arizona killed one person and sent another to the hospital. What the investigating agency says about the plane that went down an hour outside of Phoenix.
And we give you this live look. Chapel Hill this morning heals a number one seed out west in the NCAA tournament. Elizabeth Gardner will be along with a look at the cool down we are expecting. That's coming up right after the break.
From the WREL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
4:43 is a nice start out there this morning. We take a live look at Apex. All is quiet. We may see a few sprinkles overnight tonight as we have another front that comes through, but it's not going to deliver a whole lot of rain. Generally, it looks like we're going to have a fairly dry week. This week is going to be all about the temperatures, and it's going to be a bit of a wild ride. It's on the mild side right now, 59 in Lewisburg, 62 Tarboro, 57 Irwin, 58 South Hill, 61 in Goldsboro. So a number of spots still in the 60s right now, but these temperatures are going to be dropping pretty rapidly as we get through the day today, and it's going to be a cold night tonight with temperatures down near freezing. We do have a freeze warning in place for our southwestern counties, which I'll show you coming up. Temperatures may get as chilly as 49 by 9 a.m., and then we'll rebound just into the upper 50s this afternoon.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Police in Jacksonville, Florida, say they are looking for more than one shooter right now after a St. Patrick's Day celebration there ended violently. One person was shot and killed. Two others were hurt in what police believe could be separate incidents. Witnesses say they heard several gunshots, and we do know the two people who were hurt are in stable condition this morning.
A person is dead and another in the hospital after a small plane crashed in Arizona. The National Transportation Safety Board describes the plane as an experimental and amateur-built aircraft. It went down with two people on board Sunday morning, about an hour southwest of Phoenix. The sheriff's office there says the person who was hurt was airlifted to a hospital with serious injuries.
Dozens of U.S. citizens are in Miami this morning after fleeing the spiraling gang violence in Haiti. A charter flight carrying more than 30 people landed in Florida yesterday. This comes as the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince urges citizens to leave the island nation as soon as possible. Haiti's main airport is still closed following gang attacks in recent weeks. The State Department announced Saturday it would offer limited charter flights for American citizens from the less chaotic northern city of Cape Haiti. Now, officials say Americans should only consider the charter flights if they can make it to the airport safely on their own.
Three Triangle teams are getting ready for their first round matchups in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. North Carolina will be a number one seed. The Tar Heels will play Thursday in Charlotte against the winner of a game that's happening tomorrow night between Howard and Wagner. The Duke Blue Devils are the four seed in the South region. They will play Friday night in Brooklyn against Vermont. And coming off their incredible ACC tournament win, the NC State Wolfpack have an 11 seed in the tournament. They will play Thursday night against Texas Tech in the first round in Pittsburgh. The WREL Interactive NCAA Bracket has a breakdown of every team and every game in March Madness. Check it before you make your picks. Search Bracket on WREL.com.
Police in Raleigh are trying to find people who crashed a stolen car into a tobacco shop. This video is from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. It shows a stolen Kia inside Seven Star Tobacco on South Wellington Street early Sunday morning. A 911 caller saw people leaving the store, even though it was closed. The owner of the store says they don't know how many items were stolen. State troopers are investigating an accident where a motorcycle collided with a car. This happened at Knightdale Boulevard and Keith's Road in Knightdale. Troopers say a car failed to yield. The motorcyclist wasn't able to stop in time, hitting that car. The motorcyclist was taken to the hospital for an injured knee. The driver originally didn't stay at that scene, but came back. No word on any charges at this time.
The cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. have reached peak bloom. It's the second earliest bloom ever. The National Park Service made that official determination yesterday. Peak bloom is when 70% of the cherry trees that line the National Mall and the Tidal Basin are open. And this is the second earliest peak bloom on record, tying a similar mark set in 2000. The earliest bloom happened on March 15, 1990. Warmer temperatures helped trigger the early bloom. Oh, it's going to look gorgeous. We certainly enjoyed the warmer temperatures last week. This week will be a different story. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. It's like we have full spring, Elizabeth.
You know, this is just kind of what happens this time of year. It's a roller coaster ride, and that's the normal. You know, I think a lot of people think, you know, we just kind of stair step up with our temperatures, and it doesn't usually happen that way. You know, we warm up, we cool down, we warm up, we cool down, because we have fronts that come through. It's warmer ahead of the front, colder behind the front, and this is a pretty active time of year generally. So we see a lot of ups and downs. 63 is our current temperature. We'll see those temperatures dropping pretty rapidly this morning on down to around 50 or so, and then back up to about 58 for the high later this afternoon. 56 in Southern Pines, still 64 in Rocky Mount, 60 in Goldsboro. So really mild start. We hit 73 yesterday. It was a beautiful day. We had such a nice weekend. It was just gorgeous. But around town today, definitely feeling a lot cooler. 58 in Raleigh, 57 in Durham, and 61 in Fayetteville. And we're going to see a mix of sun and clouds. We should still see a good bit of sunshine, especially as we get through the afternoon. But we have another front that'll come through tonight with a quick sprinkle. And then after that, we're going to see the temperatures climbing again. So we do have a freeze warning in effect from Sanford down through Pinehurst. It's just for two of our counties. It's just for Lee County and Moore County. And that's because we're looking at the growing season having started in our southern counties, but not in our northern counties. We are likely to see freezing temperatures in our northern counties as well. But we don't consider the growing season to have begun until we get to the end of this week, looking at the 27th for the beginning of the growing season from the Triangle area northward. But 30 in Roxborough and Clarksville, 31 South Hill, 31 Roanoke Rapids, 32 Lewisburg. This is what we're going to wake up to tomorrow morning. So a big, big change from what we're seeing this morning. And then down to the south, definitely some spots near freezing. Sanford at 31, Siler City at 31, 33 in Southern Pines, but 35 for Fayetteville and Irwin, 36 in Clinton, 34 in Goldsboro. So temperatures should be above freezing there. Our normal low is 40, so that 34 tomorrow morning is considerably below normal. And then near normal, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we'll see temperatures near 40. So that's going to feel pretty chilly for us. We do have the potential for temperatures to be either at or below freezing for most of this week. We'll take a look at what that looks like with the 7-day forecast. Thursday, we may get just a quick little burst of some warmer temperatures. And then over the weekend, it looks like we're going to moderate a little bit as well. You probably noticed over the weekend that pine pollen really started to make itself known, and it is a mess out there for sure. 58 today, 57 tomorrow, then quickly 70 on Wednesday. It's almost like there's an error there, right? Because highs are in the low 60s then all the way into the weekend with a chance of some showers.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up, a 750-pound alligator is not your usual pet. We'll explain why authorities took this guy named Albert out of a home in upstate New York. Big guy.
My. Plus, the battle rounds are getting started on The Voice. We have a preview of what you can expect out of Goldsboro native Tay Lewis tonight. .454 is the time right now. Let's take a look at the bright lights at Goldsboro. Good morning to you. We have not reached our cold point here yet today. Just wait for it. Elizabeth Gardner will be along shortly. Authorities in western New York have seized an 11-foot alligator from a man who was keeping it at his home illegally. This is Albert. He weighs 750 pounds. Authorities in suburban Buffalo found him in a home. His owner says Albert is like family to him. He had a license to own the 30-year-old alligator, but it expired in 2021. His request to renew it was denied, so officers came and took that alligator. A licensed caretaker will now look after Albert. It was an exciting weekend for the gaming community in Raleigh. The Playthrough Gaming Convention brought gamers of all skill levels to the Raleigh Convention Center. The two-day event featured tournaments, new games, and industry pros, from Fortnite to Super Smash Brothers, video games to board games. The event celebrated all things gaming. The convention featured a variety of exhibitors, including video game developers, board game publishers, and gaming accessory companies. There was also a packed schedule of panels, workshops, and other special events.
The battle rounds on The Voice begin tonight, and Tate Lewis from Goldsboro is taking the stage. We told you how the local singer grabbed Reba McEntire, John Legend's attention during his first performance. He ultimately went with Team Reba. Lewis shared this photo to Instagram to get his fans excited for the episode. He shared that he is partnering up with teammate L. Rogers for tonight's performance. You can watch The Voice tonight at 8 on WREL.
Can't wait to hear what the choices are for music selection there. And this is pride of Goldsboro. We keep going back to that well when we're talking about The Voice.
Yeah, his genre is country music. Mm-hmm. He's loved it ever since he was in middle school. So we'll see if he'll do a country song or maybe just go with something else to show his range.
We will see. He's got Reba, so he's absolutely in a good place. The Voice of a Generation will be performing in Fayetteville tonight. Bob Dylan is bringing his Rough and Rowdy Ways tour to the Old Crown Theater tonight. Show kicks off 8 p.m. There are still tickets available starting at $57.
Coming up, the man accused of murdering a Moore County woman and leaving her body near a cemetery is due in court. Why James Dunmore's attorneys argue there isn't enough evidence to keep him in prison.
Plus, a woman who survived a cougar attack is in Washington sharing her story, and Ken Smith will explain how she escaped from that big cat and how her friends jumped in to help as well.
And it is time to fill out your brackets. We now know the matchups for the NCAA tournament, and we'll take a look at the historic win NC State pulled over Carolina over the weekend.